It is that simple. What's interesting is I think the truths of God are simple and they're extremely deep, deeper than we could ever fully wrap our minds around. And so the statement that God is good and God loves us is simple to not even understand, simple to even state, but also extremely deep to understand. And I love that about God. I love that he's the contrast of those two things. And again, like I said, as common of a statement as that is in the church now, we've said that for how long? I don't know. God is good. It feels incredibly potent to say right now to me. It feels like that's been called into question a lot. I believe that it's true. And I want to write songs that help people experience the goodness of God.
Welcome to episode 124. I'm your host, Jake. And if this is your first time with us or you've been with us for a while, just want to say thanks so much for spending the time to be here. And if you haven't already, make sure that you are subscribed or following or whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform so you know when more episodes come out. Our guest this week is Cody Carnes, and Cody and his wife, Carrie Job, are responsible for what became one of the songs of 2020 called The Blessing. One of the things that's awesome about these two is not only are they doing some amazing things together as a husband and wife duo, but they are doing some awesome work independently as well as solo artists. And one of the things I love about Cody's songs is, when we talk about this a little bit in the episode, is even though sometimes it doesn't always resonate right away, it's not my style right away, they still have a way of coming around and making a huge impact. And y'all, I had so much fun getting to know Cody a little bit. I'm excited for you to hear this episode. So without further ado, here we go. We're here with Cody Carnes. Man, I was looking just a second ago, Cody, like you have all these awards and nominations, and it's just so exciting to see from all of that. Now we have this new live album coming out, and we get the chance to sit here and chat about that and just who Cody Carnes is. Man, just so glad to have you.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So one of the things I didn't realize is that you actually start out with Gateway Worship and Gateway up here in Dallas. The church, it's multi-campus. I can't remember how many there are down here in the Metroplex these days.
I couldn't even tell you. There's a lot.
I mean, we have the main one in Southlake, which I drive by every couple days, well, at least twice a week, I should say. Reminder just how big it is.
Yes, it is very big. It's very big. that was home for a while. I grew up in West Texas, about 4 hours west of Dallas. And then after high school, I moved to the Dallas area with some friends and started going to Gateway. Really, that's where I started writing songs. That's where I really learned a lot of how to lead worship and how to be a worship pastor, and really fell in love with just what I'm doing today is really where I fell in love with it, was at Gateway. And they really just poured into me a lot in those college years, you know? And so I'm really thankful for them. It's still very much like home to us. And we're back there. We're in Nashville now. We have been for about 7 years. So, but we love it. And Carrie was there as well. She was there a bit longer than I was. So that's where we met. It's where we, you know, the reason we met is because we were scheduled to lead worship together a few times there at Gateway. You know, we would lead together. We met that way. And then soon after that, she invited me to be in her band. And so that's how our whole relationship started. That's how our friendship started, was me. I was just this guy that played acoustic and led some songs with her at different events and things like that. And then we became really good friends. And then it was years later that we started dating. But yeah, I have Gateway to thank for literally my life, my wife, my kids, my career, what I'm doing. And so it was all from there. So I'm very thankful for that place and those people.
Well, it was cool. Elevation came through here in the Metroplex. And I should say, before we get going too far, like, I'm here in the Dallas Metroplex. So if there's...
You've got a Texas Rangers hat on, so that's obvious.
Well, I've been a Rangers fan since I was wee young and growing up in the middle of Wyoming. So it's like almost a little coming home for me, being able to come be by the ballpark. And
I love that.
But that's awesome. So the reference of like here driving past, like, it's because I'm here every day. And it was really cool to see, what was it? A couple of weeks ago, no, it was actually at the beginning of August. My sense of time is jacked up. But you guys were actually here with Elevation when they were here on their concert tour here, which I'm a little hurt. I was in Denver at Red Rocks, the Caleb event there at the time, and that got announced. I'm like, come on, guys.
And that was really special. You know, that's, you know, like I said, I lived in Dallas for a long time. So that theater specifically is a special room. I've experienced some really amazing moments in there, being attending other events and concerts and things like that. So to be in that room, it felt like being home, you know. Yeah. That was the one of the rooms that I recorded Nothing Else in live as well. So that was the first time I led worship there. So just a significant place. But that whole tour was incredible. We started in Dallas. We ended it at Radio City Music Hall in New York. Every night was so special. That tour was really inspired by the Blessing. Just, it was the first really time we had gotten to do the Blessing with Elevation on a full tour. And we did that song every night together, and just was special being in a room full of people singing that song that really carried us, a lot of us, through the pandemic. And so we love those guys. We're such good friends with them. And it was such an honor to be on tour together.
That song, The Blessing, just really took some major wings. It's one of those ones that just like hit out of the middle of nowhere. And I mean, for me personally, being honest, like the repetitive kind of songs don't connect with me as well. Yeah. Just not my kind of thing. But yeah. I will say, one of the things that I've learned, the more that I've listened to music, the more that I've been more intentional about it, had some of these conversations, it's just sometimes the context is everything. And yeah. when you're talking about just the specialness of the blessing in a room like that and carrying through the pandemic and all that, one of our babies was born right at the start of the pandemic. And we had another baby that was born like in the middle of the pandemic.
Wow.
So yeah, we had two of them like super close. It's been kind of crazy around these parts. But one of the cool things, we did a midwife birth in a birthing room, birthing center. It was really nice because we actually still got to be human and like welcome a baby. And it wasn't like over medical.
Yes, yes, yes.
So one of the things that we did was we made sure that we had worship music playing. I don't know what playlist it was. We just hit go for worship music to just have that in the background while everything was happening. And it was when, I think it was baby boy, our youngest, was born. Right in the middle of all that, The Blessing came on. That song came on the playlist. And it's just like one of those moments of like, I get it.
That's awesome.
It's what it took to like connect. Just the lyrics of the song just really hit home as we're welcoming baby boy into the world.
Awesome. I love that. Yeah, that song, I mean, we're still so blown away by the timing of it all. And the, you know, we wrote that song a week and a half before the pandemic started, you know, before the country shut down, and we released it a week before the country shut down. So it was written, recorded, and released within about 5-6 days. And the reason we did that is because when we wrote it, we said, well, why don't we lead it at church this weekend? Cause we were there at Elevation. When we led it at church, we weren't even recording it really. When we led it at church, we just felt this sense of like, I think we got to release the song immediately and we didn't know why, you know, because we didn't know what was about to happen. And so we just kind of followed that sense of the Holy Spirit. Let's put this out for whatever reason. We felt so strong. And so we did. And then little did we know, a week later, the country was shut down. This whole thing would start. And here's the song just sitting there that had all these promises of God in it, you know, and the promises of God are what carry us through those times that are hard. And so it's really unbelievable. And it was really crazy to just be at home in lockdown, but you're watching cities come together over Zoom and sing this song. And then it turned into countries coming together and that turned into continents coming together, you know, singing this song in their own languages. And it was translated into over 140 languages by the end of 2020. And that is mind blowing. So just really thankful, being connected to the song or not, just really thankful for that song. That song helped us. It carried us through. We were singing it over our kids, you know, putting them to bed at night in this time of crazy uncertainty. Just really thankful that God did that.
So we had some friends that were there at that concert and, you know, just a few weeks ago. And one of the things that a buddy of mine was talking about, we're actually talking about this last night, was just your kids came out during the middle of that song while you guys were singing that song. Just that extra moment there, that just that connection of that song in the moment at the show, that was definitely something that he thought that was pretty awesome. Just that connection there.
I love that. Yeah. We have our kids with us all the time on the road and we like to involve them as much as we can. And this is not just career. This is ministry. It's really ministry, you know, it's family to us. It's ministry for them as well. And it will grow into that as well. And they're a part of it. And we want to include them. Yeah. That moment is really special. They've only come out a couple times in that song. The first time they did it was at the Sin in Kansas City, which was this big outdoor event at the stadium there. And it just kind of naturally happened. They were side stage and they kind of wanted to come out. Like, we kind of couldn't stop it, you know? And then all of a sudden we realized, like, oh my goodness, the significance of this actually is really powerful in this moment to be here with our kids and singing this song. And so it was the same deal in Dallas. I mean, that's the only time on that tour they came out. It was kind of one of those things where they're like, we want to come out on stage tonight. It's like, all right, well, come out on the blessing. It'll be great, you know? So yeah, we love it. We love our kids, love having them with us. It's really special that Carrie and I get to, most of the touring that we do is together. So we're family, the traveling Carnes family circus is how we like to call it, because it is wild and crazy and awesome.
Yes. Still being in that season, circus is probably the best way to describe it in a lot of days.
Yes, very much so.
Like, you're talking about they come whether you like it or not. They're coming on stage. Yep. Like I see. Yep. Like, I'm surprised they haven't been banging on the door yet here.
Yep. Same for me. We're lucky.
Yeah, we'll give it about 5 minutes and we'll have the co-host.
Yes, 100%.
Talking a little bit about your journey. So Carrie started really coming onto the scene. What was it? 2012?
As far as an artist?
Yes. So Revelation song, she put that out. It was, I want to say it was 2012.
She recorded Revelation song for the first time, I think in 2001 or 2002 at CFNI. And so then I think her first album came out in 2009. That was like her first as a signed artist. And that's the album I remember, because I remember that's right when I moved to Gateway and started going to the church. And I remember I went to her CD release night and that she did there. It was only a year later that I started traveling with her right after that, basically. That's when she kind of started traveling a lot, was in like 2010. So I toured with her from 2010 to mid-2010 to late 2011. I was in her band for like a year and a half. And then I moved to help plant a church in Arizona and we stayed friends. And then we started dating a couple of years later. Yeah, she was definitely in those early 2010s. She was just stepping into everything she's doing now. And yeah, it was really fun to be a part of those early days with her.
Wow. I do not realize that it's been that long.
Yeah.
That just made me feel a little old for a second. So Gateway has always done some worship. I remember playing some of their stuff in the mid, early 2000s at churches, you know, that I was a part of and stuff.
Yeah.
So they've definitely created that culture of creativity in that church worship. What was that career path for you? What was that journey that you walked on with both Carrie and the Gateway worship team?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was just a worship leader at church, musician at church. Carrie asked me to travel with her. So I stepped into that. At the same time, I was just really starting to write songs. And so I stepped into that kind of around that time and was starting to write songs that Gateway was singing and that seemed like people were connecting with. And so I stepped into just this thing of like, okay, I think this is what I really want to do. I feel like this is where God's gifting me. And then I, you know, got asked to help plant a church in Phoenix. And so it was a Gateway church. It was from people there. And I really feel like God told me to do it. And I was a 22-year-old kid and moved out not knowing anybody in Phoenix, moved out there to start this little church plant. And it was a wild, crazy journey, as any church planting journey is. But especially for a 22-year-old kid in a new city, had to learn how to lead people real fast, you know. And I was only there 3 years, but it was such a foundational, you know, season for me to really get some roots down deep in my spiritual relationship, my walk with God, my relationship, just kind of being on my own and really figuring out who I am and what I'm going to do. And then Carrie and I got married a few years into that. And then we quickly moved to Nashville, felt like God was calling us here. And so we moved here and a part of a church here. And that's really when I fully stepped into being an artist, songwriter, still on the road with Carrie at that point. You know, we were kind of back on the road together, obviously being married, and really just kind of stepped into and started making my own records and writing songs with my friends. And then here we are, you know, 7-8 years later. Just the songs and the moments that have happened the last few years have been just really special and wild. And I'm just riding the wave at this point. Whatever.
I've heard some awesome stories about just you and Carrie being able to be on the road together. I mean, you have that husband wife dynamic that, yeah. I've heard some awesome like bloopers, for lack of a better word, being able on the road.
Okay.
Yeah, and some of those inside jokes that crawl out on stage, or, you know, those moments where that just seems like that would be so much fun to be able to do that. I mean, I know that there's stress of being on the road, you know, and there's all sorts of challenges that come with that as well, but just the joy of being able to live that life on the road and share those moments together, that's got to be something pretty awesome to be able to do.
It is really special, you know, to be partners in life in all the ways, you know, we're married and we're parents and we're co-worship leaders and we're co-songwriters and we're stepping into all these things together that God has put before us. And it is really special to share that as husband and wife and to get to lead these moments together. There's nothing like it. So we do, we love it. And there's sometimes we're like, we got to quit talking about work because that's all we do at this point. You know, we've got to just be married. And so it's sometimes it's good to take a little break from it. And I was like, I'm going to go make a record. Okay. So we'll get some time apart from working together all the time. And so we then, at that point, we just get to be, you know, husband and wife, mom and dad, which is awesome, but it's special. I'm really thankful that we get to travel as a family and do this together. It's awesome.
So I got to hear some of the best stories that you've had on the road, being able to be on stage together, leading worship together.
Yeah.
What are some of the best bloopers that you guys have had on the road, you know, on stage together?
Put me on the spot. Maybe we're too professional. maybe we need to have more bloopers.
Well, I guess we can go. What are some of your favorite moments leading worship with Carrie and being able to do this together?
Yeah. You know, the highlights in my mind come up recently. Recording the blessing was such a special moment together, not knowing we were recording the blessing, but looking back on that moment and realizing just how crazy powerful that it was. It was a really significant moment recently leading at Passion together. We love those people. Passion Conference, we've done it a few years now in a row. But this year was really significant for some reason. And, you know, I'm thinking about just that moment together. And just, you know, there's moments when you're living in this. First of all, you're like, you have this moment of like, this is crazy what's happening right now. Like, I feel God so strong in this place. And I can't believe that I get to do this. And then you look to your right and it's like, and there's my wife, you know? And there, it's just, I mean, man, it's just wild. And it's really special to get to share those things. We led worship in Norway recently. That was really special. Just some of those places that you don't get to go very often. And you step into a whole new culture of people's passion for Jesus. And it just does something so significant for you. And I think we're going to do some more international stuff next year, and hopefully. And so those moments will be really special too. I mean, man, there's so many I could highlight and think of. Yeah. Sorry, I don't have more bloopers, man. I know that I do.
Those are the repressed memories. That's a whole different podcast.
I try to forget those. Those are stressful. I did think of one. So recently at my live recording, I had taped, and we're going to release the video of this at some point. I was wearing this ice pack on my back to try to like not sweat as much, you know. It was like an ice pack with like this Velcro strap, you know, so I was wearing it on my back, but they had wrapped the ice pack in like a paper towel kind of thing because it was so it wouldn't like stick to my back and freeze me. And so anyway, so we're 8 songs into the live recording and, you know, I'm singing and I've still got this ice pack on, and all of a sudden I'm singing and I'm moving around, and then all of a sudden I just can't hear anything. Like my ears get unplugged and I'm like, what happened? And I look and like Carrie's like swatting at my back, and I'm like, what? I'm literally in the middle of recording a song and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, you have this coming out of your shirt. And she holds it up and it's this massive white paper towel. Looks like I had toilet paper hanging out of my pants, something like that. And I'm like, what? And so we had to just like, we just stopped the song in the middle of the recording, and we're just laughing and we're like, what the heck? She's like, what is this? And I'm like, it's my ice pack thing. I don't know. And so anyway, so I'd like take it off and like hand it to somebody. And it was this whole moment. And the song was like, we were in the middle of the biggest, most like intense, amazing, spiritual, epic moment in that song. And then it just came to a crashing halt. And and then we redid the song and it was even better. But, you know, that was definitely a funny moment that we've got to find the footage of that and get that up on socials, because it was awesome.
That's hilarious.
And that's your wife. You know, if my wife, if it wasn't my wife, nobody would have done anything. They would have just let me, but that's the beauty you have in your spouse up there. It's like, you can be very real. It's like, you have this paper hanging out of your pants. Let me get it. Okay. And so that people don't have to see that. I'm like, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. That's great.
I mean, the alternative is the live recording video, having a bunch of people like try not to look.
Yeah, that would have been way worse if we would have just kept going on that take. I had no idea. And then I get the recording back and I'm like, oh my goodness, no one told me. Thank you, Carrie, for loving me well and taking care of me. Appreciate it.
This journey is also taking you with collaborations, like with the Belonging Company. We talked a little bit about Elevation. It's just awesome to see that. It's just awesome to see that you've been able to not only do your solo stuff or just, it's not just Carrie, but you've been able to make that impact and just give your voice to all these different projects. I don't know, something that I've been really enjoying seeing lately is just more of the collaborations, not just we do our thing and that's what it is, but let's take what we do and let's add another voice, let's add another artist, let's add a collaboration. The Belonging Co., was it last year that released the live album from The Belonging Co.?
Yeah, I think they've done 3 albums now. So they started releasing them 5 years ago or so, I think. The church is only 8 years old. So it was a few years into the church that, you know, songs, there's a lot of songwriters in the church. So naturally songs are going to get written. So yeah, it was, I started just releasing songs that were naturally kind of coming out of the church. So we love it. I mean, that's home church for us. We've been there since the beginning. It started in our pastor's basement, you know, in their garage, basically, of just a handful of people. And we were in those early days and had incredible encounters with God from the beginning there. And so it's been fun to just be a part of it and watch it just flourish into what it is today. And the collaboration, you mentioned that. I mean, we love that too. We love the collaboration, and those things usually happen very naturally when you write songs with friends that are also artists. It makes a lot of sense to lead them together. It also really just celebrates the unity of, you know, we're on the same team in this. We're not competing with each other. And we really, really want to break those walls down as much as we can, because it's unhealthy to feel competitive. And sometimes, you know, culture will kind of force you to be competitive, you know, like, I like your record better than so-and-so's. I'm like, that's not nice. You shouldn't say that. Their record is great. You know, we're friends. Like, we really do love each other and we care about each other. And so to do songs together is the best. We really love it. We try to collaborate as much as we can, as much as it makes sense. It's fun.
I think that really showed in the album. Like I said, I know you and Carrie were a part of that. You've been a part of a few of their live albums and all that. I think the end result of that, I know it got nominated for some of the We Love Awards here at NRT.
Yeah.
I really think that that's one of the main ingredients that's gone into those albums. I mean, because you have like Natalie Grant there, Sarah Reeves, Danny Gokey, I'm sure a whole bunch of people that I'm forgetting that I should be mentioning.
Yeah. No, like, that's, you're hitting it all. That's great.
So like, there's just so many voices that have gone into these, and I think that is the secret ingredient. I mean, one song you have Natalie Grant, that's just going to town. You know, the next song you have Carrie. It's just super awesome to hear that all come together.
Yeah. And that's all very natural. I mean, we've all been drawn to the church by just having encounters with the presence of God there. You know, our pastors get asked a lot, like, how'd you get all these people to sing on these projects? It's like, we didn't. They're genuinely a part of our church. They've been drawn to our church and they got involved very slowly. And then, you know, but it is really special that they're, you know, there's a lot of artists and songwriters that have naturally come to be a part of it. And we're all really good friends, and we're all the, you know, we're all the people that are holding each other's arms up. We're the people that are true community. When we come home off the road, these are the people that know us well, and we know each other, and we're helping each other. And so these records are really just a genuine celebration and representation of what our community is here in Nashville. You know, these people that we all love each other, and we're church together every week. It's awesome.
So moving from the collaborations to the solo stuff, with this new live album that we've talked about you recording not long ago, it's releasing in just a few weeks as we're recording this here. Got the chance to listen to it. I've got to say, without a doubt, most of these songs are longer than my attention span, for sure.
That's awesome.
No, in a world like we have 3-3.5 minute songs, you know, maybe a 4 if you're stretching it. You know, that's kind of like the formula. A lot of these songs are like 4, 5, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 9 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you just talk a little bit about the songs that sit a little bit longer, that take a little bit longer to get through, just the, sitting in these moments of worship instead of just the, you know, the three and a half minute songs for radio or whatever application.
Well, you kind of let the songs do what they want to do. I think you don't try to box them in too much. When you get together with a group of musicians like we did and you play through songs, you really try to hear the Holy Spirit in those moments too. What should this section do? And how many times should we do it? And what feels right? And, you know, and a lot of times we're cutting song, we're cutting sections. Like, this feels too long. Let's trim it down. Okay, that feels right. And you just do your best as a worship leader to create a journey in a song that will lead people to Jesus and not distract them. You know, you don't want a song to be too short. If it's too short and it should have been longer, it can feel like the rug got pulled out from under somebody when they're connecting with Jesus. And if it's too long, well then yeah, you lose people. And so you try to really find that sweet spot. And that's just artistic interpretation. That's worship leader interpretation. These songs are really meant to be these moments in the presence of God. And so we do our best to try to find the sweet spot there.
Before we get to, you know, like the actual recording process and the, you know, the experience there, with some of these songs, what's some of the life that's gone into them? What are some of the lyrics that have really been the season of your life?
Man, I mean, this whole journey of writing these songs has been over the last 18 months, which, you know, we're in 2022. So the last 18 months has been basically the pandemic in the midst of all that uncertainty and all of that fear and just chaos. It was really finding the anchors in my life for all this stuff is swirling around me. Where's my foundation? What am I holding on to? And obviously recognizing, okay, that's Jesus more than ever. It's Jesus and it's his truth and it's a scripture. And it's the fact that I believe what he says. I believe who he is and what he says he is. I believe who he says I am. I believe that his promises are true. I believe that he's good. The title of this album is God is Good. The album cover is a massive billboard, you know, and that's really the heart of the album for me was I wanted it to be this billboard of the goodness of God, of that we can and we should still trust God for who he says he is and take him at his word. There's been a lot of opinions and things that have been thrown at us in this season. We've had to weed through everybody's opinions and we've had to weed through people saying, well, this is true. And then you find out it's not. And then the other people say, well, this is true. And you find out it's not. It's like, there was a big attack, I think, on truth in this season and what is true. And if we're not careful, we can start to really question what is true, which is God and his word. So as an artist, I really wanted to make a solidified declaration of like, I still believe in Jesus. I still believe he's the savior of the world. I still believe he came to earth and died and rose again. I believe all that. And I'm standing on all that, you know? And so the songs are really that. There's a lot of scripture in them. You know, I wanted to write songs that unite people again. Like, what do we believe? What do we all agree on? That these simple truths of the gospel, and it's powerful to declare those. And especially in this season, it's powerful to declare that God is good because there's a lot of things that aren't good. And if you're not careful, your own truth and your opinions can get the best of you. And you can start to believe those more than you believe the goodness of God. And then you're upside down and I'm upside down. And so it's really just this kind of, hopefully this recentering of the beacon of hope that Jesus is.
I love how you say it's the simple truth. Cause one of the things that I noticed, you know, in some of the lyrics is they aren't elaborate and they aren't like, you know, this deep theological apologetic kind of discussion. It's like, God's good.
Yep.
It's not bad. I mean, it's just, I think that we forget that sometimes it is just really that simple that God is good and that God loves us. I mean, it's that simple.
Yep. It is that simple. What's interesting is I think the truths of God are simple and they're extremely deep, deeper than we could ever fully wrap our minds around. And so the statement that God is good and God loves us is simple to not even understand, simple to even state, but also extremely deep to understand. And I love that about God. I love that he's the contrast of those two things. And again, like I said, as common of a statement as that is in the church now, we've said that for how long? I don't know. God is good. It feels incredibly potent to say right now to me. It feels like that's been called into question a lot. I believe that it's true. And I want to write songs that help people experience the goodness of God.
And I'm sure that there's a few people as they're listening to that, you know, as we're saying God is good, there's the all the time. Like we said that in church for so long.
Right. That's right. That's right. And it's true.
So as we start winding down the episode here, just want to talk a little bit about just the experience and just the process that went into recording the live album, you know, versus the studio. You have to have the space, you know, the musicians, you know, it's kind of like a one shot kind of ordeal.
Yeah.
What all went into recording the live portion of this?
Yeah. So, we started in a studio, so I really wanted to assemble like a dream team of musicians and producers and who are all my friends and are all amazing at what they do. And thankfully they all said yes, which I was so excited about. And so we set up this time, we spent 10 days in the studio at first. We tackled 20 songs in 10 days. So a couple songs a day, which is a big feat because you're starting with just lyric, chord and melody. That's it. You start from the beginning and you build the arrangement and all the musical parts and how everything's going to feel and flow in the studio time. So we did that with 20 songs. And then we took about a month of space in between for all these other things that have to fall into place. And then we came back together and rehearsed for a few days and then, you know, recorded the two nights. It's a fun process. It's a lot. It's a lot of work. It's kind of double the work of a studio album, I think, and double the stress. But I think it's also double the fruit as far as like the moments you get with people in the room are just so special and so significant. And I believe that there's something so powerful that's captured in those moments of people worshiping together. And so I'm really thankful that I did it live. And you know, I had very similar emotions being in that room that night as I did like at my wedding, you know, where you've got this room full of people that you love and you're looking around and you just can't believe that this is one of those moments in your life where everyone you love is in the same room, you know, and you're like, this will never happen again. Those kind of things felt very similar at this recording for me. And so this is really just kind of one of those monumental moments of my life, I think. And I'm so proud of the songs and I'm so excited about every part of it.
Was this recorded at the Belonging Co?
It was there.
So
yes, it was. It was at home. So that helped a lot too.
One of the things that, you know, as people listening to this, the production setup that they have there at the Belonging Co. is ridiculous.
Yep.
It's exciting for me to hear you say some of this about your friends, just because I know all the audience mics that they have, just the whole setup that comes into it.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense from what I was hearing in the album, just because you could just hear so much of the audience. You could just hear so much of that engagement that went into a lot of these songs.
Yes. Yeah. I love our church. It's a great team there. Our pastor is actually a phenomenal mix engineer, which you don't hear that very often. And so, yeah, he's incredible. And he's set up something really great there as far as all that capture goes. And yeah, I'm thankful I got to do it at home. It was super peaceful. And I was actually about an hour before, you know, starting the night, I was so relaxed that I was nervous how relaxed I was. And that was just because I was home and I was with all my friends and I'm thankful that I got to record it at home. That was really special.
Well, we're really excited for this to come out, Cody. And I hear rumors that there's an Opry debut in the near future.
Yes, October 1st. If you want to come to the Opry, Carrie and I both have our debut that night, which is going to be really fun. I grew up in Texas on country music. My dad was a musician. He always wanted to play the Opry. So I'm really excited about it. It's going to be awesome.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So, well, we just appreciate you spending the time here, Cody.
Thank you for having me.